If you didn't get a handout, help yourself. We have several still that are here, and we encourage you to do that. We've started a series on prayer, and we've been in it now for about a month. Tonight, we're going to look at when you pray. In the Synoptic Gospels, that's three Gospels that are parallel in their stories and in their writing, we have the Lord's model prayer. In Luke, verse 11, Jesus is praying. His disciples wait till he finishes. And one of his disciples come to him, and they say to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples, speaking of John the Baptist. Now, you would think that these disciples would be prayer warriors. You would think that they would have a great handle on prayer. But to be very honest, I think that in the Christian life and in the individual believer, prayer is one of the greatest areas of failure that we have. It's not, Lord, teach us how to pray, but teach us to pray. And most failures that we have in our Christian walk are prayer failures. We have prayer promises all through the Bible. And that wasn't my neck, by the way. But sometimes it sounds just like that, though. But the Lord gave a model prayer of how to approach the throne of God. We find this also in your text, in your notes, Matthew chapter 6. And when you think about, people who are people of authority, for instance, if you go before the judge, if you're before the judge, you don't just rush before the judge and dictate and mandate your desires to be known. You address him as your honor, and you show respect and regard. When you want something from your father or from your grandfather, you don't just go up and say, just give me this, unless you're bare. He's the only one I know that does that. But the others, they hug on you, squeeze on you a little bit. They love you a little bit. They spend a little time with you, and then they get around to it. And the Lord, he gives us a model. Now, there are people who will call this the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It's not what he prayed in the garden. His prayer in the garden was that thy will be done. But here he gives a model. He gives an example. It's a tremendous example for us. And I hope it'll be a help to you. To many of you tonight, this is old hat. You know this. But there's a lot of folks who've never, ever heard what I'm going to say tonight. And maybe some of you who have known it, maybe it'll be a refresher for you as well. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You hear about the little boy who was on his knees, and his mother heard him saying, herald this and herald that. And she says, well, son, what are you doing? He says, I'm praying to God. And he said, why are you calling him Harold? And he said, because Harold be his name. It's clear, hallowed be his name. This is a position where the Lord is showing praise and honor and respect. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We've gotten to the point we don't want daily bread. We want months of bread. We like that too, don't we? I mean, I do. I'd rather have, just the barn full and just put up my feet and say, eat, drink, and be happy. And wait a minute, I've read that somewhere. But God, he hasn't promised us anything but food and raiment. If you've got a roof over your house, God's been more than abundance, to you. He says, consider the lilies, consider the sparrows. They don't fret. And I think that we have this concept that God should spoil us and just pour out. And by the way, he does. I think he does do that to us. But here he says, give us this day our daily bread. All over the world, there are children. All over the world, there are people who are thankful to God because they got a bowl of rice today. Some of them in the Philippines, they got a bowl of rice with a cut-up tomato on the top of it, and they're living big. We get a pizza, and we look at it, this is not cooked what? This, and we gripe, and we grumble, we complain, and we murmur. We're spoiled, aren't we? You get out of your backyard and go around the world. You fly into Philippines, fly into Manila, and you'll see where the airport is. You'll see where the island's dump is, and there are people who have made that their home. They take the castaways, they take the trash, and they build a home out of that, and they live in the garbage heap. That's where they live. Isn't that something? By the way, there's a reason why men are fighting and giving their lives to get across oceans, to get across walls, and to go over barriers to come to America. You know, God's blessed this country. And we see here, he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, this isn't a prayer that you and I are to recite. It's not a prayer that you and I are supposed to pray. We're not to bow our heads and say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, blah, 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 and do like. That's not what this is about. The Lord gave this. It's not his prayer. His prayer was in the garden. May this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, thy will be done. And but he gives his disciples who've come to him and who are interested and who are concerned and inquisitive about prayer, and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, notice he begins with number one, praise. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In Colossians 4, verse 2, there in your notes, the Bible says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You know, I believe if we gave a more generous, grateful, thanksgiving spirit, God would give us more. You know, God hates pride, and God hates covetousness, and God hates this sour attitude. Young people, hear me what I'm saying to you? There's very few young people I see today that are grateful and are thankful and have a sweet spirit about them. And they're worldly and carnal, and they have a lot of a sour attitude because there's things that, you know, the Apple 27 Plus phone came out, and you don't have one. And by the way, I know preachers who are the same way. You know, a B55, computer is what you've had for the last 2 years, and the B56 comes out, and you're just not going to be happy unless you get it. I know preachers that are that way. I have a computer at home. It's sitting in the corner now, but it has a Windows 94 on it. It really does. I'm happy with it. I was happy with it. I still like it. It was built by a friend of mine. It's strong. I've got programs on it that work still. It was adequate for me. Can't get on the internet. That's okay. And, you know, it was adequate for me. And the church for my birthday last year bought me a laptop. And I tell you, it's a whole different ball game for me. And Windows 10 and it updates all the time. And, you know, those things come on, says, you want to update this? I always say no. I just learned this one. I say no. And then you only say no so many times, then it just forces it down your throat, you know. We have all kinds of technology today, don't we? We can say, hey, Google, what's the weather? It's partly cloudy outside. It's 75 degrees and a chance of rain, you know. You can say, you can say, hey, Google, what's the time? It's 10:56 a.m. I saw Debbie in the bedroom the other day. She's saying, hey, Google, make the bed. And she's waiting to see, and nothing happened there. You know, we need to praise the Lord. Praise him. He tells us to continue in prayer and to watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, begin your prayers by praising the Lord. Praise him for things eternal. Now, I'm going to give you some direction to help you pray, and to pray in consistency with the Lord's model prayer. What are things that are eternal? Well, we praise him for creating you. God's our creator. Man, what a God we have. He created us. Can I tell you this? He never has created junk. And we have a lot of rough spots, and we got a lot of changing that needs to happen. And God help us. There's a lot of sanctification that needs to take place. But there's great potential in every one of us because God created us. God's got a specific purpose for you. You know that? It's not to make money. It's not to get rich. You know, it's not to have your own business and just, no, I'm just having fun now, you know. Watch it. I'm going from preaching to meddling now. You know, the purpose of creation, the purpose you were created was to glorify God. That's the purpose of creation. And God has a specific purpose for you. The purpose that he has, David, the purpose he has for you is not the same purpose he has for me. He's got a specific will for you, and you need to find it. Dennis, God has a specific will for you. And there's God's perfect will, and there's God's permissive will. And I'm grateful for a permissive will for those who have stepped out and that maybe they will never walk in the realm of that perfect will, but can be content and have the glory of God and the blessings of God and God's permissive will. Understand that. Some of you young people better understand, God, he knows who you are. He loves you. He has every hair in your head number. He has a specific will for you. And if you're not careful, you'll be stupid and you'll mess it up. Trust God. Walk with God. Yield yourself to God. You know, wise guys aren't real wise. They're stupid. They end up sabotaging themselves. Girls who are rebellious and they don't listen and they're going to do their own thing, they end up with great sorrow and they hurt themselves. It's amazing to me, the boys and girls and the young adults today who live in sin, who live in immorality. They live like barnyard animals. And there's all kinds of things we could say tonight, but I want you ladies to know, if he's getting the milk free, there's no reason why he should go get a license for it. You better understand that. He doesn't have any respect for you, and he has no self-respect for himself. You can say amen anywhere you want to. Now, this is about to say, preacher, that's really blunt, but I'll tell you something. We're living in days where things better be blunt today. You know, they get a lot blunter than that on the TV commercials. So understand, we should praise him for eternal things. And you know, we are eternal. We will live forever somewhere. We ought to praise him for knowing me. He knows me. He knows who I am. He knows what makes me tick. He knows my fears. He knows my sorrows. He knows my joys. He knows me. Psalm 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsettings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. We ought to praise him for creating us. We ought to praise him for eternal things, for knowing us. We ought to praise him for the fact that he's coming to earth. He's coming back soon. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and may the Lord come. In John 1, verse 14, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We should praise him for Christ. I praise him for his virgin birth. In the garden, when there wasn't a man around, Satan took the opportunity to deceive a woman who was very vulnerable. Satan did that with Eve. But in the New Testament, when there wasn't a man around, God gave the second Adam. And for his virgin birth, for his life that was sinless, without guile, for his death, how he died on the cross for us, for his resurrection, how he rose the third day, for his intercession. You know, he goes before God the Father, and he intercedes for you and me. That's what Jesus does. Did you know that? It goes like this. Lord, help me today. It's going to be cold, and I'm going to need a coat. I'm going to need a hat. Amen. And I step out, and Jesus comes and says, Father, he's going to need an umbrella too. Please, it's going to rain today. Meet his need. He intercedes for us. So praise him for the things that are internal. Praise him for things spiritual. We ought to thank him for the Bible. Thank him for the Word of God. You understand, there's people all over the world who would love to have what you've got in your lap. They don't have it. I don't know. I think, last count, I think I have 27 Bibles, and they're all King James, but they're different study Bibles. They're different meanings for them and reasons for them. But we should praise him for things that are spiritual, the Bible. We should praise him for giving us a Bible that's inspired. It's a God-breathed book. It's not some Reader's Digest, and it's not some bestseller. It's not some kind of a book that's become popular in the world. It's God's Word. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. And then we should praise him for his preservation. God's preserved his Word. God's Word is as true today. If you've got a King James Bible in your hand, let me tell you something. You've got the Word of God. You have the Word of God in your hand. It's been translated from the right text, and God has used it greatly. We should praise him for the work of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does inside of me. He is my compass. He gives me direction. He's my anchor. He keeps me settled. That's the Holy Spirit. I can talk to him anytime, and sometimes he talks to me when I'm not listening. He's talking to me. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. We should praise him for being inside of us. We should praise him for being around us. He's constantly. We don't know the great safety and the protection that he's given to us. Only heaven will tell. In John chapter 16, verse 7, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you a truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." This is Jesus saying he's got to go away. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." Praise him for recent answers to prayer. Don't take it for granted. He's met a need in your marriage. He's met a need in your family. He's provided a job for you and or a promotion in your job. He's blessed you in your church, and he sent revival to your church. That doesn't just happen. We need to praise God for these things. Praise him for the fact that he's a promise keeper. What he promises, he keeps. He doesn't break. He promises that he'll never leave or forsake us. He'll always be there. He is. Many other promises as well. Praise him for things physical. For things that are created by him. Look at the beautiful leaves. They're down now. But all these different colors in the fall. The yellows and the orange and the burgundy and all these colors. That's God's handiwork in that. That's God's mastery that does that. The beauty of the earth. The greens parts of the earth. The oceans of the earth. Beautiful, beautiful things. Waterfalls, and you see these things. God carved them out, and God created them. We should praise him for physical things, the beauty of the earth, things that are created. We should praise him for our health, praise him for our food, praise him for our clothing, praise him for our house, our home, praise him for your car. Say, well, if you saw my car, preacher, you might think twice about that. Got you here tonight. Be thankful for your car. Bet you had to walk home. You'd be thankful for your car. I've walked a few times. I've put a couple miles on me with a drive shaft on my shoulder. Yeah, I've done that. And, understand that we should praise him for our health and food and clothes. By the way, these are some things that we've taken for granted in our youth, but the older we get, the more we're conscious of these things. Praise him for people, those nearest and dearest, your family. Hey, praise him for your wife. You won't always have her. God forbid, but she could be taken out in a car wreck tonight. Praise him for your husband. You won't always have him. I got news for you. That one beside you will probably be the best one you'll ever have. You better cherish him. You better love him. I love Debbie with all her problems. I just ask God to help me, and I just love her, you know. I love her to death. And we were in bed the other night, and someone gave us this "Hey Google" thing. And so I said, "Hey Google, what time is it?" And she said, "It's 11:11." And I said, "Hey Google, sleep sounds." And she says, "I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said." I said, "Now she's starting to act like you, Debbie." And she starts getting on me about putting water on the mirror. I want to unplug her and throw her out the window. For your family, praise them for your children. Praise God for your grandkids. Praise them for those who have recently been a blessing to you. You know, people who have blessed you, people who have encouraged you, people who have prayed for you. Praise him for those whom God has brought across your path to help you grow. Maybe someone who's given you a real challenge. Maybe even some criticism. There are some times that, and I'll tell people, I said, "Now this is I want to talk to you about." I was talking to someone just this week, and I said, "I want to talk to you. I want to bring up a couple of things. I want to try to help you with something." And now this is going to be critical, but I want you to know I love you. And they said, "Oh, no, I know that." And I shared a couple of things with them, and they received it well, and they thanked me for it. But praise him. You know, can I tell you, when somebody comes to you and says, "You know, can I tell you something? This, I don't want this to sting, but I love you. I want to help you." You know what? Somebody's investing in you. You know that? Some of you people who are millennial, you got to get over yourself. You know, bless your heart. You grew up getting a trophy for nothing. You grew up drinking bottled water. You know, I mean, bless your heart. You know, yeah. Get over yourself and be approachable. Can I tell you this? It's not your feelings; it's your pride that's your problem. And you know. I have friends, and I have friends in our church, some of these retired pastors. I love them, and I'm approachable. I honor them. I respect them. I thank God for them, and you should too. He tells us, "Hallowed be thy name." Start your prayer with praise. Don't just rush into the throne of God making your demands. Number two, not only does he begin with praise, but then he moves to worship. Notice he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We're reminded of Psalm 46, verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God, and I will exalt among the be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Spend some time worshiping and adoring Jesus. That old song came to my heart today. There's a couple songs. I can't think of what it is now, but it came to my heart. I sang it to myself all morning about the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Just to think that God loves me. Oh my, what a wonder of that. The fact that God knows me, God created me, God knows me, God loves me. The wonder of that. And that song's been on my heart today. And worship him. We should worship him because he is eternal. The Bible says, "Now unto the King eternal." He's eternal. He's always. We should worship him because he is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Acts 17, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Do you know that? You know, the devil is not omnipresent. He can only be in one spot at a time. But God is there everywhere. He never leaves any of us. We should praise him because he's omniscient. Proverbs 15, verse 3. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." We should praise him because he is all wise. Psalm 147, 4 and 5. "He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names." That's who our God is. That's impressive. You know, I've had probably 27 pets in my life. I can't remember all their names. "Great is our Lord, and of great power he understandeth." His understanding is infinite. We should praise him because we should worship him because he is the owner of everything. Psalm 24, verse 1. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." We should worship him because He is always right. Job 34, verse 10 and 11. Therefore, hearken unto me, ye men of understanding, far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. For the work of a man shall be rendered unto him, and the cause every man to find according to his ways. We should worship him because he is our provider. We depend on him, and we need him. We need him daily. We need him hourly. Psalm 103 says, know ye that the Lord, he is our God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and his sheep, and the sheep of his pasture. We should worship him because he is always faithful. Lamentations 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. We better never forget that, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Thirdly, he goes from praise to worship. Then he moves to confession. He says, and forgive us our debts. Now, this is the model prayer he's teaching his disciples, who've said, teach us to pray. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, if you ever feel like that you don't have sin in your life, why don't you pause and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you? Because he'll flat tell it to you, won't he? He'll show it to you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, here are a few questions to help me examine and search for sin. Am I honest in all my words and acts, or do I exaggerate? Do I embellish? Have I sinned with my tongue? B, is my thought life pure? Have I coveted anything, or lusted, or been greedy, or envious? C, have I treated others right? Have I esteemed others better than myself? D, do I grumble or complain? Do I grumble or complain? Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Now, in the Greek, what this means is to do all things without murmuring and disputing. That's what it means. Am I proud? Am I a proud person? Do I leave the impression that I'm better than I truly am? Do I think I'm better than other people? Am I arrogant? Am I proud? Most of the time, we have a pride issue. You ever just get sick of yourself? If you don't, why don't you shut your mouth and just listen to yourself? If you can do that. There's been some times I've gotten up and looked in the mirror and looked at myself and said, you make me sick. Yeah. Now, if you've got trophies for nothing, you've probably never done that in your life. But when I got trophies, I won them, you know, so I know. Understand this. We blame a lot of things on the world, and we blame a lot of things on the devil, but it's just our sorry flesh. A lot of it is. Am I proud? F, have I committed sins of omission? Have I not done things that I should have done, I could have done, but I didn't do them? G, have I neglected my spiritual exercise? Am I having daily devotions? Do I witness? Do I share Christ with others? H, have I been too busy to take time for God? Am I too busy to spend time with the Lord? I, have I thought negatively about others? Oh, he just thinks he's everything in a bag of chips. oh, look at her. I wish she'd fall off her high horse. You're a negative person. You know that? That's nasty. I don't think Jesus was that way about anybody, but maybe the Pharisees, but he told them. You see, Jay, am I a slave? Buckle your seatbelts. Am I a slave to dress? Do you dress like the world, reek like the world because it's fashionable? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that great English preacher, said that the world gets its fashion from Paris, and Paris gets its fashion from hell. I thought, man, preachers have been preaching it all these times. Even Spurgeon preached on it. Hey, do you dress like a man when you're a woman? Yeah, well, thank you. I'm glad somebody sees that. Do you dress like, hey, are you a man and you dress like a woman? Can I tell you something? If I came in with a slip and a skirt tonight to preach, I think we'd have problems. What makes you think that you can do the opposite? Read your Bible. You see, am I a slave to dress? Am I a slave to friends? Are you listening? I got a friend, so I don't care what my parents think. I don't care what my parents have told me. I want to not disappoint my friend. My friend's going to have my ear. My friends, I'm going to give my heart to my friend. But I hope none of my grandkids give their heart away. You keep your heart. You give your heart to your parents. You give your heart to Jesus, and you'll be fine. But you young people, you know, you're 13, and you're not even smart enough to know how to get acne off your forehead, and yet you know more than your parents. And you turn to some friend who knows less than you, and they tell you go run and jump off a bridge, and you just can't wait to do it. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me the lack. I'm just going to say something. I think that we are in a strong church. I think we have a lot of preaching. I think we have a lot of things that focuses on the external. I think we go to camps that do the same thing. But I think we have a lot of young. I think we have some young people who know the rules and who walk the line, but are lost and will to go, and they're going to go to hell because it's not in their heart to do the right thing. Can I tell you, when I was 15 and 16 and 17, I had very little restriction on me. But I started hearing the Word of God preached in Christian school chapel, and it changed my life. I started reading the Bible. I had an old Zondervan topical Bible. I got it in my shelf back there in my office. I used to lay in bed at 16 and 17, lay in bed till midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and read that Bible. Man, we had UFOs in our home. My daddy, he was lost. He cussed. He threw ashtrays, and he used the Lord's name in vain. There's no semblance of righteousness or godliness in my home. I didn't have a youth pastor. No one took me to Christian camp. And I see young people who have all these advantages, and they live like hell when they get a chance to. I don't think they're saved. Some of you parents better wake up. It's very convenient to be in a church that's strong and it looks like everything looks good. But as soon as you turn your back, your kid's going to do the wrong thing, you know, because it's not within them to do the right thing. Are you a slave to dress? Are you a slave? This is the meanest message on prayer I think I've ever heard. Are you a slave to dress? Are you a slave to friends? Are you a slave to habits? Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what's in my life that shouldn't be there? He might say tobacco. He might say barbecue. Ouch. Yeah. Oh, the skinny guy loves that kind of preaching. I hear some of you others amen in that or anything, did we? Yeah. Some habits. We have habits of saying things that shouldn't be said. That maybe they're not vulgar, but they're off color. And they don't bring glory to the Lord. Have I prayed about how I spend my time? Have I prayed about how I spend my money? Have I prayed about how I spend my talent? Here are some questions to help examine us to search for sins. He made confession and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lastly, he closes with intercession and petition. This would be supplication. Give us this day our daily bread. He's going to make known, lastly, his needs. Psalm 55, verse 16 and 17 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now, pray for your family members by name. There's not a morning that passes that I don't pray for my children, for their spouses, and for my grandchildren. Not a morning. And then I pray for our church family, but some of you I call by name. Not a morning goes by, I don't pray for Sam Stewart, for his eye, David Vascar, for his back, Jay Edwards, Jennings Mullins, James Mathis. I pray for my wife, her health issues. And I've just started realizing that I need to pray for myself. God help me. Pray for your family members. Ladies, love your husband, but pray for him. I want you to know, it's harder to be a man of righteousness today than it's ever been. And your husband leaves the confines of your nice living room. He goes out into the world, and he sees and he faces everything under the sun. Pray for your wife. Pray for her. Pray for your children's future life partner, that God will direct their parents in their upbringing. You know, hey, listen, God has someone for you. You believe that? You don't have to burn through 15 guys to find the right one. Recreational dating leads to fornication. People who don't believe that, people who are my age and don't believe that, don't believe their kids were not fornicating either. Recreational dating leads to fornication. You should be courting. There should be a courtship. And courtship takes place when you're at the point and stage in your life to get married. But here's something stupid. I'm 13 and she's 13 and we're going together. Where are you going? I don't know. We're just going together. She's wearing my ring. It looks like a doorknob on her hand. She's got my ID bracelet on. That's going way back, isn't it? And we're just going together. And then you get these mamas together who think that's so cute. It's ignorant. It's stupid. Yeah. Why don't you pray? And can I tell you something? Everybody's got small children and juniors and primaries. You're all amen. But when your kid's a teenager, that's when you leave the church over stuff like this. It's the meanest prayer message I've ever preached. Debbie and I got in a fight on the way to church, and I'm still mad about it. I guess that's what it is, you know. Pray for your children's future life partners, that God will direct their parents in their upbringing. Pray for any special needs. And God's aware of your needs. I had a need come up today that was not anticipating, and I'm praying about it. It's a special need. Pray for those who are burdened about to be saved. You're burdened about them. There's some people that are saved tonight, but I remember being so burdened that I would have dreams about them going to hell. I'm burdened about someone. I woke up this morning, early this morning. I dreamed that someone had died. And Van, you were in my dream. You had your arm around me, and you were trying to comfort me and trying to help me. I guess I've been there so many times with so many of you and have tried to comfort you that you're repaying me in my dreams. Pray for your spiritual leaders. Pray for your pastor. I'm not a perfect pastor, you probably could do better somewhere else if you're looking for perfection. But pray for me. Pray for our nation's leaders. Pray for Mr. Trump. Pray for him. You know one reason that people are so mad at Mr. Trump? He's doing what he said he would do when he ran. You know, he's exposing a lot of Democrats' children who are getting $87,000 a month for doing nothing. He's exposing a lot of stuff. You know, pray for your nation. Pray for the vice president. Pray for, you know, state side, our state level, our state governor and different ones. Pray for wisdom. James 1 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the seas driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, if you're wavering. Now there's four finishing steps. When you're done, here's how you can finish. Ask the Holy Spirit to ask the Father for anything you forgot, to ask for anything he knows that you might need that you don't know about. Number two, ask forgiveness for anything that you ask that's amiss. It's because of selfishness. It's your agenda. It's what you want. It's not in the will of God. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Number three, claim a promise for the day. Lord, you promised you would never forsake me. Today, may I always feel sense your presence. Number four, ask God to get glory from your life that day. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all, what does it say? To the glory of God. Stand with me. Now there's other prayers.